Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Super glad to be with you. I've got a special treat. I know I say I've got special treats for you all the time, but I really do this time. I've mentioned on the program that I'd like to have our local publicly traded companies come in and talk with us. And so I have a very special treat for you. And I have with me in the studio, President and CEO of Brown & Brown, Powell Brown. Welcome, Powell.
Thank you, David. Great to be here.
It's so glad to have you here. Okay, so let me get the proper disclaimers out right up front. Holland Financial in our portfolios, we do hold Brown & Brown stock and also work for Brown & Brown for about 5 years. So I'm familiar with the company. But we're excited to have Powell in because we've been watching the growth of the company. We, of course, believe in the company because we're holding it in our portfolios. And we want to have Powell come in and give us an update and give us an idea of where the company's headed. So let's first do this. Let's start with our most recent period here. How did the quarter go?
We had a great quarter, David. Thank you for the nice introduction. Our revenue was up about 18% and net income up about 16.7%. Earnings per share growth just under 15%. But the thing that we're really the most proud of is our internal growth, and it was 7.3%. And you might ask, what is the internal growth and how do we measure it at Brown & Brown? And for every business that's been part of our organization for 12 months or more, it's same office or same store sales year or quarter over quarter. So our newest acquisition, for example, Beecher Carlson, is not included in our organic growth because they haven't been in the organization more than a year. They've only been in for a quarter. But next July, they will be counted in organic growth. So
Pleased. Yeah, because that's one of the things I think that some people, when they follow companies and look at their growth and they hear about it and they say, well, you guys are talking about acquiring companies, you're talking about organic growth. So let's back up a little bit. For the listeners, what's organic growth mean?
Right. Organic growth is, again, that is year over year growth in same office sales. That's okay. Top line revenue.
So this is after you've acquired maybe an office.
And they've been in the system for 12 months.
Okay.
And then we start measuring it. And so if any organization that's been part of Brown & Brown for 12 months or more, their growth on a quarter over quarter basis is what we measure. And so as you've seen, we've had what we call, what we view as really positive growth organically this year. And it's been supplemented by a number of good acquisitions, very good acquisitions. We do a lot of acquisitions as an organization, but we are operators of businesses, and that's an important distinction. And sometimes we're asked, you know, how do you find an acquisition or specifically the match? And really, we think it's all about cultural fit. And you'd say, what does that really mean? And cultural fit to us is how do people treat their clients, how do people treat their teammates, and how do people treat their carrier partners? And so if there's not a cultural fit, we're not interested in talking to them about investing in their business. Now, they may not like the cultural fit with us. It goes both ways. We understand that. But the best time to know is before you make the investment, as opposed to after you make the investment, as you know. So
you don't want to have to unwind something that's not a good fit.
Yeah, no, that's that's not good.
So, okay, so I think for the listeners that are looking at Brown & Brown as a potential part of their portfolio, or it's already in their portfolio, looking at where you are, you know, and of course, I think back, I was with Brown & Brown, it's a little over 16 years ago now, and I know where you were then, and I've watched the company just, I mean, that's one heck of a slope. That's one heck of a growth line. So looking at the growth that you've done, and of course, the stock has done well, looking ahead, Do you see a continuation of the kind of growth you've been experiencing? I know you've got the organic growth, which is fantastic, but of course also you are making the acquisitions. What lies ahead kind of in the short, mid, long term?
Great. We have an intermediate goal set currently of $2 billion in revenue.
And today you're at...
And right now we're on an annualized run rate of over $1.4 billion.
Wow.
Now, the important thing is that includes all of Beecher Carlson, which we announced closed on 7/1. So therefore, that won't all roll through till next July. So,
okay.
But I'm saying on an annualized basis, it's over $1.4 billion. And so we view our growth opportunities and trajectory, which is in the terms of we are a mirror of the middle market economy in the United States. That's an important distinction. It's not a GDP reflection or mirror. It's the middle market economy. And so we're seeing our clients and our prospects continuing to do better, but incrementally. And so it's a slow and steady climb out. The one thing that we're asked a lot about is, what is the thing that we see that we don't hear about in the papers, meaning, you know, the Wall Street Journal or investor presentations? And what I would tell you is, in our client base in the middle market, there is still a hesitancy to make large capital expenditures. So if you are a business, let's say you're a paperboard manufacturing business, and you have to buy a new $3 million piece of equipment, they are typically investing in doing maintenance work on it today rather than going to the bank and borrowing the $3 million. We have not seen that in our larger clients. Our larger clients are more apt to make the $3 million investment. Now we're not seeing that with our middle market clients.
Interesting. Very interesting. And is that a reflection of, I guess, their expectations about the economy, or their inability to access the same degrees of capital that the larger companies have? Or?
I think it's a reflection more on caution coming out of the economic slowdown. It's not access to capital in most instances. These are well-run businesses.
Okay.
But, you know, I think that people are very cautious because of the way their businesses were impacted on the downturn.
Okay. Very good. If you're just joining us, Powell Brown is in the studio with me, talking with Brown & Brown about where they are now, where they're headed, and we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply, or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, Powell Brown's in the house. Brown & Brown, president and CEO. Super excited to have him with us, giving us kind of an update. And this is a new thing we're doing, is inviting the local publicly traded companies to come in and talk with us and keep you up to date, and so that you can evaluate these companies for your portfolio and also know what these good companies are doing that are in our own community. So we were talking with Powell right before the break about the middle market and so what they're seeing with their customers, their insurance customers, and maybe some of that hesitation. Now, let's take that, Powell, and translate that to your business and how your company is serving them. You already have these companies as clients, and so as they are willing, because at some point, hopefully, we all hope, of course, that the economy continues to get better. At some point, that piece of machinery, as you gave an example of, it's not going to make sense to repair anymore. It's going to make sense for them to go ahead and plunk down the $3 million for that new piece of equipment. How does that translate, that hesitancy, that could translate to more profit for you at some point, right?
Well, correct, indirectly.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, when our clients grow their businesses, that helps Brown & Brown. And so the exposure units are the thing that impacts our business the most, not insurance company rates. And as you know, we're not an insurance company, we're an insurance broker, so we do not bear risk. Our intent is to get the most competitive product with the most comprehensive coverage for our clients, period. And so we will talk to multiple insurance companies on our clients' behalf. So back on the exposure increases, people say, well, what are those exposure increases or exposure units specifically? Those are things like the value of your building, the revenue or your sales on an annual basis, payroll, or number of automobiles that are on your schedule. So as people's businesses grow and they add two or three more trucks and their sales go up, their premiums typically go up in accordance with that. And as that occurs and they grow over time, we in turn can grow as well.
Very good. And so there's definitely, this is another question I want to get to. There's definitely a lot of room for growth as people look at your stock and the growth of the company. With regard to where your stock price is today, I was going to go over and take a quick look and get a recent price. And again, it's around about $32 a share. Price range, you've got maybe for the next 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. Of course, you have your analysts making their predictions. Give me kind of a sense on what people's expectations are, or maybe what your expectations
well,
are.
Well, as you know, David, we can't control the price of our stock. What we can do is work towards growing our earnings and our earnings per share. And so I would tell you, we always think that a stock is either overvalued or undervalued based upon where it is on that day. And we all think that we have room to grow the value of our stock. Having said that, what we try to do is to grow our top line and our bottom line accordingly. And in doing so, we believe the value of our stock over a long period of time will go up. So we don't typically think about it in 3 and 6 and 9 and 12 month increments. We think about it year over year and 5 years down the road, and the investments that we are made today and how do those impact the value of the company long term. Case in point, in the last 24 months, we've made the two largest acquisitions in the history of our company. We say that with pride, but with caution. And the reason being is the average acquisition size was $4 to $6 million in revenue. And in January of 2012, we did a $107 million acquisition in Southern California, Arrowhead General Agency. And that's turned out really, really well. We're really excited with the progress and the results from that organization. And then we made a large acquisition of $110 million in revenue on July 1st of this year, which is called Beecher Carlson, based in Atlanta. So the idea with both of those organizations was not because we wanted to be bigger. We wanted to be better. And we thought that the people in those organizations fit culturally and they brought great expertise to the organization. And one in one makes three plus. And so those investments, we believe, in combination with all the other investments in businesses that we've made and hiring people to go to the next level, will be good for the value of our stock overall. And I'll say one more point on that. To get to our $2 billion goal, we're going to have to hire or acquire 3,500 more teammates. We don't have employees at Brown & Brown. We have teammates because we're all on one team. We all work together. And so that is, if you think about it, kind of a staggering number. And yet it's exciting to think about. Here's a growth-oriented company that is investing in itself. We pay out about 25% of our earnings in dividends, and we reinvest the rest in the company.
I like it. I like it a lot. And I asked the question about how you were looking at your stock over the next 3, 6, 12 months. And I think that that's your answer is great, pal, because what it does is it reflects on your culture at Brown & Brown of looking at this as a long term. And when I was on the inside working there, that's all I ever heard was it's a long term proposition. It's a long term plan. And these acquisitions you're making, as they are strategic and they're good fits for you, you're not looking at them saying, okay, this is going to make us better for the next 3 months. So that's exciting, and I think that when people look at investing in a stock, and of course we do this all the time doing the work I do at my firm, is we're always coaching people. You can't look at just the next couple of months. And because these acquisitions, you know, these are significant commitments. And you've got, you know, you need to integrate. You've got to pull everybody together and get the whole team or teammates all on the same page.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's a commitment in a good way. And what I would tell you is this. I agree with your philosophy, and we think about it in very long term. What's the impact in 5 years and 10 years, 15 years and beyond? One thing you might be interested in is we have a very high insider ownership. So 29% of the company is owned by teammates, and they're either here in Daytona Beach or in offices around the country. And we have a small business in London. But the thing you might not know is 70% of all teammates, and we have just under 7,100 teammates, own a share of Brown & Brown stock through some vehicle, whether it's a 401k plan and stock employee stock purchase plan or just buy it in the open market. And so that's something we're really proud of because it is an ownership environment.
Well, it's very close to an employee-owned company. I mean, the spirit of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we want teammates to have the opportunity to invest in Brown & Brown. It is not required. We allow people to do that upon their own choice and their own doing, but it is very unique in that regard. And I would tell you that there are not that many, as you know, publicly traded companies that have more than 29% insider ownership. There are companies, but I think the number is less than 60
Wow.
on all the publicly traded companies in the United States, and it might be something you talk about in another show in the future, but I'm just saying it's something that we're really proud of.
That's excellent. That's excellent stuff, pal. Well, let's do this. I'm going to break. If you're just joining us, Pal Brown's joining us here in the studio. He's president and CEO of Brown & Brown. We'll take a quick break, come back, and continue with Pal. Stay right there.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we're back. Good stuff here. Powell Brown is in the studio with us, president and CEO of Brown & Brown, and my listeners know I'm excited to have you in the studio, pal.
It's glad to be here, Dave.
A real treat. So let's. I want to talk about the big elephant in the room. Those of us that are investing in Brown & Brown, one of the things, of course, that we naturally are going to think about and want to ask, and so I have the opportunity. I know there are very special rules that govern what you can talk about that hasn't happened. As a publicly traded company, you have to be very careful what you say. But, so in the future, one of the things, of course, that people are curious about is, will Brown & Brown, two parts. One, will you continue to make the kind of acquisitions that fit for your company? How much do you think you'll do as a general idea? And then is there a big one out there? Is there one where you might merge with one of the other top 10 insurance agencies in the country?
Well, first off, David, if you look back over the last 10 years, six of the past 10 years, we've acquired more than $100 million of revenue a year. And that's typically 30 to 40 acquisitions a year. Sometimes when you have larger acquisitions, the number of acquisitions is smaller, but the revenue is as high or higher. So we think that there are lots of opportunities to invest all across the United States in the near to intermediate and long term in that regard. In relation to the second question, and obviously I will be careful in terms of the comments, but if you listen to our earnings call this last month here in October, you heard us for the first time ever talk about having a $1.3 million expense related to a large acquisition that didn't occur. We're under NDAs, so we're not permitted to talk about it, but what I would say is this. We believe that we have the financial partnerships with our banks that would allow us to make any investment that made sense in terms of size and scope. And so We typically don't think about huge acquisitions because there's not many of them.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that we wouldn't consider doing a larger transaction if the people and the cultural fit were right.
Well, you bring me to another question, which is very good. Is there are other folks out there, of course, that have looked at what you're doing and said, "Hey, that's a pretty good idea. We're going to do that." So you've had other people that have made or are making acquisitions. How does that impact on your strategy? Again, in looking for the fit, that obviously could affect the price, but also just a sheer supply out there.
Yeah, well, first of all, relative to supply, we think there's somewhere between 18 and 24,000 independent agents in the United States. So it's really a fragmented business. It's almost like a cottage industry, and they range in size and expertise. So relative to that point, the second point, I think there's plenty of supply. That's number one. As it relates to the space, yes, it has gotten active. And most recently, it's active with firms that are private equity backed. Now, let's talk a little bit about the evolution of our industry, because we are doing this for a very long time, and we are not short-term in thinking, as we talked about earlier. In the early 2000s, banks were really big acquirers. And the two biggest banks that we've seen and we think that are committed to the space would be Wells Fargo and BB&T. Having said that, if there's a change in regulation in the banking industry, don't know how that would impact their ownership of agencies or brokerage firms going forward. But the private equity area has gotten hot in the last several years, and it has driven the price of acquisitions up slightly. But what I would tell you is private equity is not long-term in thought process. So they're 3, 5, 7 years max. And so it's a different mentality to be with a private equity firm. One of the things that we believe is a very positive is if you do something with Brown & Brown, you understand that provides clarity for you and your teammates for the future, period. As opposed to if you go with a private equity firm, one thing you can say for sure is they're going to be sold sometime in the future, and they will have nothing to say over to whom they're sold.
Well, what's really interesting also about that, pal, is you were making that observation about the nature of that, is that that actually could create another wave of opportunities down the road when these hedge fund guys have packaged up and done some of your consolidation for you and said, okay, we're done, or we want to go to another industry. That might create, again, another wave out there, but there is that uncertainty that you talked about.
Yeah, you're right on that. It does, and we've bought some businesses from private equity-backed firms. What I would tell you is this. I believe that when interest rates do go up, which I don't think will happen in the near to intermediate term, but when they do go up, I think that they will not be as active in the space. So it's something where they're playing a financial equation right now. They're borrowing money for very cheaply, and they're putting it to work, and they're using lots of leverage. And so all of that is fine until you're in it, and they don't fix a lot of those rates. So if the rates go up, then it's a different ballgame.
Excellent. All right. Well, pal, we'll have to have you come back and give us another update. We're out of time for today. Pal Brown's been our guest, ladies and gentlemen, president and CEO of Brown & Brown. A couple quick things for you. The website is bbinsurance.com, and the ticker, BRO, bro. Go bro. Pal, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, David. Great to be here.
All right, you're very welcome.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.